Warlocks in D&D are unique. You're looking at a character that has gained power from a powerful foreign entity. I say foreign just because it's not just another character or PC typically. And so the power that they have given comes with consequences. Typically speaking, the power is given in exchange for something of equal power to the patron that comes with that. And a lot of times that involves soul bartering. Black Razor, for instance, for Hexblades, is specifically set out with a goal to devour all souls that exist. And so I could see a warlock, Hexblade warlock, using their own soul as a way to gain that additional power. Or potentially a fiend, for a fiend warlock would require a soul in order for that to work. And it becomes tricky when you're dealing with PCs, because when you require them to do things that are against their nature, we walk this fine line of removing player agency. There are a lot of different ways that that can be run, and it could be a compelling story. But what I want to look at is how we can do that with an NPC and create a encounter that's unique, as well as a potential follow-up side quest that goes with that, that would be a little bit more interesting because of this dynamic. Welcome back to the Game Masters Academy. This is the show where we strive to help you make every one of your sessions great. My name is Greg. Thank you very much for joining me. This specific episode is heavily inspired by a game that I am currently running. And so if you are a member of that game, all of this will sound rather familiar. Before we get into exactly what it is that we're going to be looking at for the encounter, I did want to ask that each of you like, subscribe, comment, ring the notification bell, do a rain dance, whatever it is that you feel like doing that would be able to help out with the show. I greatly appreciate it. Anybody that is just here watching or listening is also greatly appreciated, and I thank each and every one of you. Here at the Game Masters Academy, every single Monday, I am releasing an audio file on the podcast, and that is typically geared towards explanations of rules, as well as looking at lore, things along those lines. And then on Thursday, we take a look at a combat encounter, or in some cases, multiple combat encounters, and I might add on some additional modifications to monsters to try to buff them, or break down a side quest type scenario to help be able to fill your game with that encounter or that side quest in a way that is impactful and meaningful, other than just beating on it with your weapons until it goes away. So if that sounds like exactly what you're looking for, please subscribe and join all the things that we always talk about. And with that out of the way, let's take a look at some warlocks. Now, there's a couple of different warlocks that are currently available within the standard rule sets and the game's books that are available right now. And I think that this works, relatively speaking, with any of them. I'm going to use a Warlock of the Great Old One as my example, just because I just used it and it works relatively well. The individual itself has some history with potentially aberrations and or other bizarre and unique type of entities. So, you know, the Great Old One is a foreign alien entity that has obviously granted spellcasting to typically a mortal. So when we look at the Great Old One, there's a couple of things that we definitely want to highlight. So we are looking at a spellcaster. So this is not somebody that we want to try and have caught off guard. We want to make sure that they are capable of being prepared. They're able to cast mage armor, and so that's something we want to have already cast. We would just say that they cast it when they wake up in the morning, and then it lasts until they go to sleep, or however we want to do that. But that mage armor is going to obviously give them a little bit of extra armor, puts them at 16. They do have psychic damage resistance, as well as a couple of different abilities that are unique. So they have Howling Void as an action, and that is basically like a 20-foot cube. So I'll just read it to you. The warlock opens a momentary extraplanar rift within 60 feet of it. That rift is a scream-filled 20-foot cube. Each creature in that area must make a DC 15 wisdom saving throw on a fail. They take 2d8 psychic damage and are frightened of the warlock until the start of the warlock's next turn. On a successful save, a creature takes half as much damage and is not frightened. So that's their Howling Void. And then the other one is Whispering Aura. And that is at the start of the warlock's turns, every creature within 10 feet of it has to take make a DC 15 wisdom save or take 3d6 psychic damage as long as the warlock is not incapacitated. So you have all of that. It has daggers as well, which do additional psychic damage. That's obviously a theme here. And spell casting. So when we look at this, this individual has a couple of these abilities. But you'll notice that the spells that they have aren't really like damaging spells. So, Guidance, Levitate, Mage Armor, Minor Illusion, Prestidigitation, Speak with Dead, Arcane Gate, Detect Thoughts, True Sing. We're not really doing a lot of damage here. We do obviously have the aura, and we do have a dagger that's going to do 1d4 plus 3 plus 3d6, and it gets two dagger attacks. But this is less of a combat type individual and a little bit more of a, I don't want to say like, infiltration, but a little bit more of the idea, you know, you've got Minor Illusion, Detect Thoughts, Speak with Dead. There's a lot more utility type spells. I specifically used this within a political intrigue type of a campaign and allowed him to utilize his high charisma and basically become the mayor of the city. And the way that this whole thing worked out is this guy doesn't want to be fighting. He doesn't want to be fighting the party. He doesn't want to be fighting a bunch of other stuff. He's not going to last very long. He has 91 hit points and an AC of 16. He's not the individual that you want your fighter getting right up in his face or anything along those lines. Because of all of that, I would want to introduce this particular character when the party is a little bit less than its challenge rating. So this says it's a challenge rating 6. I would want to introduce them at 5, maybe 4, depending on the number of people that are there. And with the idea that it always has the option to utilize Arcane Gate, and it can Arcane Gate itself away from the encounter and slip away. And we want to potentially have that. So let's say that we have this warlock, and he has done something, whatever. It doesn't really completely matter. But the idea here is there's an interaction with the party. They are able to get an idea, a little bit about who he is and what he does through the Whispering Aura, through the Howling Void, through the different spells and the dagger and all that. And they have an idea of who this character is, or I should say who this NPC is, as well as their capabilities. And as he's having this fight, if he starts to lose, or even if he starts to win, you would then gate away and basically escape. Overall, the creature, the warlock, is relatively speaking straightforward. You hit the Howling Void for ranged or for an AoE. You've got the aura, which is an AoE as well. And then if they are parties, done in a way, you can use daggers to interact or to attack through that. Once that's done, we're going to potentially use gate to escape from this entire situation. Relatively speaking, very, very simple, very straightforward. The way that we include this in a quest is we have him basically being the link between the aberration or the great old one, whatever that entity is that he has made this pact with. He's the link. The warlock is the link that gives the pact owner, or the patron, I should say, the access to the material plane that he would not otherwise have. And it could be big, giant, grand scale, because it's going to be, you know, the entire city. It could be very, very small scale, and it is just a small incident that's happening in a specific area within your town. It's your game, however you want to do it. But the idea here is that the warlock is the root of the source for the entity, the patron, to be able to gain access to the material plane. And then the party is obviously going to be introduced in a way where they need to go and stop him. So that's the first step of our side quest. Once that has happened and they interact with the warlock, he does what he can through this combat. Whether he wins or loses, he arcane gates away and is able to basically live on to fight another day. And so the party tracks him down and engages him a second time. Now, the caveat to this is somehow in here, the warlock broke his pact. Let's say that the pact was that the warlock would provide fresh victims, potentially, for the great old one, or would make sure that there was easy access for them to gain access to the material plane, and maybe the party has cut that off. However you want to work that out, but the idea here is that the pact that the warlock created is no longer viable, and because of that, he has become a pact breaker. Now, with a player, that is tricky. With a character, we know exactly what happens when you break the pact of a patron. And what happens is, typically speaking, you turn into a deathlock, which would be an undead. Now, for this particular example, I would like to give the deathlock a level up. And so what ends up happening is the party interacts with the warlock. Let's say they potentially defeat him or get close to defeating him, and he's able to gate and escape. Somewhere along the lanes, the way between then and the second opportunity, the pact is broken and the party has potentially increased a level. Even if it's just gained a level because of the creature, and then you continue to pursue him, however you want to do that. But what ends up happening is the undead deathlock mastermind is what the warlock has turned into. And so if we go down to the bottom here for a deathlock mastermind, it specifically says the forging of a pact between a warlock and a patron is no minor occasion, at least not for the warlock. The consequences of breaking this pact can be dire and in some cases lethal. A warlock who fails to live up to a bargain with an evil patron runs the risk of rising from the dead as a deathlock, a foul undead driven to serve his otherworldly patron. And that's exactly what's happened. And so we've got this warlock. He has turned into a deathlock mastermind, which is a CR8 creature. And so that's why I was commenting that there's, you know, probably should be a level up that's involved in between the two meetings. And one of the best parts about this deathlock mastermind, he looks like a desiccated corpse holding a staff, which is obvious for everybody. But it's able at will to cast Disguise Self. So it uses Disguise Self. It looks like the original warlock that it used to be and is able to masquerade as something that it is not until the party is able to find it and track it down. Same idea, uses mage armor, so we would want to make sure that that happens. Now, the Deathlock Mastermind has a significant combat increase. And what I mean by that is, between Deathly Claw and Gravebolt, you're looking at an entity that is much more proficient in a combat-type scenario. Not a ton of spells, although I would mention it does have Devil Sight and can cast Darkness. And then it has Fly and Dimension Door to give you the mobility that you need to be able to utilize the creature correctly. But with Fly and the whole entire
darkness spell around it. You could be flying around a battlefield, flinging grave bolts at people from, you know, 20 feet up in the air. Now, that becomes a much more challenging encounter, and it kind of shows the full life scale that the original warlock went through. So let's recap real quick. We start out with a Warlock of the Great Old One. That is a CR 6 monster. And the party finds him because of whatever the nefarious deeds that fit your campaign are that this particular warlock is doing. Whether it's providing innocence to his patron, whether it's killing people that then he's using somehow to help fuel his patron. Whatever it is that the patron is looking for, that warlock is responsible for that. The party tracks him down, and they have an encounter or a battle with this Warlock of the Great Old One. Now, the Warlock of the Great Old One has the ability to cast Arcane Gate. Now, that doesn't have a huge range on it, but it should be enough, depending on where he is, to allow him to slip away. So as he's being defeated, but before he is defeated outright, he casts Arcane Gate, slips away to live another day. The issues or the reason that the warlock was drawn to the party's attention continue to happen, but somehow, somewhere along the lines behind the scenes, this warlock broke his pact. Since he has broken his pact, he has lost the ability of free will, as well as has lost the ability to basically be living. And that has turned him into a Deathlock mastermind. Said Deathlock Mastermind is a CR 8 monster, has Devil Sight, Turn Resistance, Unusual Nature, and then Deathly Claw and Grave Bolt. Now, Grave Bolt's kind of a unique ranged spell attack, as it does, obviously, 3d8 necrotic damage, but if it's a large or smaller creature, it is going to force a strength save, or the individual will be restrained by shadowy tendrils for 1 minute. And obviously that target's able to do those that repeated saving throw at the end of its turn. To be able to hide in plain sight, it's going to utilize Disguise Self, so that way the general public does not recognize that it is a basically evil undead. And it has the ability to do things like Dimension Door, Fly, and cast Invisibility to gain the mobility. And Grave Bolt has a 100-foot range, so you could be flying 100 feet in the air and be raining grave bolts down at the party for the encounter. Once completed, or I should say once defeated, then that would wrap up this little side quest that you could add into your campaign. The actual Deathlock Mastermind, most I would say that the defeat of the Deathlock, somehow it's around its lair or something, but just give like a journal, provide some sort of plot hook or lore dump, so that way the party can recognize exactly what the bargain was for the original case, and not only that, but how it was broken. Maybe the party is the reason that it got broken. Maybe it was completely something different, and then you're able to allow them to continue to pursue that and potentially investigate the patron or the patron's grasp. You know, it's an easy way that you could potentially tie this into your main campaign, having that patron be part of the big bad evil guy of the main campaign's reach, or there's a relationship there somehow. Again, it's your game. You know, you have the ability to do that, but I really love the idea of taking that warlock and showing that when you break the pact, there's actual consequences. It's very easy when players select warlock as their character class, and then, you know, we might try to have the warlock's patron appear, but it's a very tricky road to walk to force them to do things because of that lack of agency that can cause. So this is a good way to show, like, hey, if you don't do what's going on,
It's almost like an implied threat. But if you don't do what your patron has told you you have to do, this could happen to you as well. So that is your side quest from Combat Corner from the week. We're looking, obviously, at a Great Old One Warlock and then followed up with a Deathlock Mastermind. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining me for this week's version of Combat Corner with a little added multiple monster twist here, as well as the addition of the side quest idea. Find a way to incorporate it into your game. And as always, let's let the dice decide.